Again, good morning. We are going to be looking at Matthew chapter 5 today. If you'd like to turn your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 5. And I'll go ahead and give you a heads up of a couple of other passages that we're going to look at if you want to turn to a few places. But the key text where I started anyway, where the Lord took me to for this message, was Matthew 5 verses 14 through 16. But we're also going to look at Philippians 2 and 2 Corinthians 4 a bit as well. So those are our destinations or our stops along the way today. This is our final message in our Lead Beyond series, and we certainly want the Lord to lead us in His will and His ways, and we've been looking at that the last several weeks. And I've titled the sermon today, Shine, and subtitle is His Light in Us. His Light in Us so that others will see Him. And that's our desire, or at least that's what we hope is our desire, that we want people to see Jesus Christ in our lives and be drawn to Him. Certainly we're called to do that individually, wherever we are, right? One of my prayers, when I go to the mini-mart, sometimes as I drive there, Lord, help me to be your person at mini-mart in this moment. And sometimes He's got somebody else that's His person that actually ministers to me. But I want to have a submitted heart and a trusting heart. And so wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we want that faith and that love and that hope we have in the Lord to shine through. And so we want that to happen always, but certainly it should happen when we're gathered as God's children. We should certainly come expecting great things of God and for Him to shine brightly through us. This is one of the things that we see in the book of Acts with the first century church. You know, we look at those activities that they did. You know, we think about, oh, they gathered and they worshiped and they shared meals and they were studying the Word. And absolutely. Absolutely, all wonderful things, and God works in those things. But the gathering itself, the coming together, the fellowship of God's people, God shines through that. So not just individually, but in our gathering. And it's important that we're aware of that we don't neglect gathering together, because there are people around us that need just the presence, not our presence, but our presence because the Lord is with us and in us to shine and to encourage them. So it's important for us to continue gathering together and to shine for each other as well as the rest of the world out there. There's a book that I've been reading. I just want to share a brief quote. And if you were here last night, you know that we led into an activity after this quote. We're actually saving that activity for after the service. So if you're blessed by that last night, you're not going to miss out. We're just going to do that. You guys know that we have after the service, we have a time of prayer. We're also going to have a little time of application afterwards today. So we're going to save that for later. But I do want to share this little quote with you. This is from the book, The Life, Living the Spiritual Disciplines. Scripture is filled with what has been referred to as one another verses. 100 times in the New Testament, to be exact. These verses help us go beyond proximity, not just gathering our bodies together, go beyond proximity and begin to cultivate deep, authentic, biblical community. And that's God's desire for His family. These verses are not just suggestions from Scripture, but in many cases they are framed as imperative, as commands to be obeyed. So I want to share with you a few of those. Not all 100. It's okay. Don't stress. Just a few, maybe 15 or 20 of those each other, one another verses in Scripture today. Don't have slides, Mark, so you don't have to try to keep up. But you guys might jot a few of these down as the Lord speaks to you. John 13:34, a new command I give you, Jesus said, love one another. Love one another. As I have loved you, you are to love one another. In the book of Romans, show family affection to one another with brotherly love. Outdo one another, showing honor. Love one another. Accept one another, just as the Messiah has also accepted you. In 1 Corinthians, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Have the same concern for each other. In Galatians, serve one another through love. Carry one another's burdens. In Ephesians, with patience, accept one another in love. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another. In 1 Thessalonians, may the Lord cause you to increase and overflow with love for one another. encourage one another, build each other up. In Hebrews, encourage each other daily. Let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works. In the book of James, don't criticize one another. Don't complain about one another. Confess your sins and pray for one another. In 1 Peter, all of you should be like-minded and sympathetic. Love believers and be compassionate and humble. Maintain an intense love for each other. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Based on the gift each one has received, use it to serve one another. Clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. I love it when God is insistent, lets me know that he's not joking. He is serious about this encouragement for one another and this love for one another. He's like, get this, don't miss it. Shine, yes, shine like lights for those who are still in the darkness. Shine for those who don't have the hope yet of what you have in Jesus Christ, but shine for each other. Love each other. The Bible tells us, as you are walking by faith in Jesus Christ, as you are speaking hope to each other, as you are abiding in the love of God as family, you're shining. The Holy Spirit is helping you to just be a light for each other, to encourage each other. Some of you guys, if you were here in the last week or so, you heard me mention my affinity for Van Gogh's works. Kim and I went down to the Indianapolis Museum of Art, and we saw the Van Gogh exhibit down there, which was really cool. I saw a Van Gogh exhibit years ago in Chicago that was the paintings, but this is this, like, welcome to the 21st century deal where you're immersed in these projections and sound, and it's like you're kind of in the paintings. It's so huge, and the whole room is just filled. And some of my favorites, some of Kim's favorites are the sunflower paintings. Some of my favorites are the stars. I just love Starry Night and some of the other ones where Van Gogh has this beautiful images of stars in the night sky just shimmering, and like, man, what a beautiful picture of God's people. And his dad, I don't know if you know it, was a missionary, or he was a missionary for a while. Van Gogh was a missionary for a little while in his youth. But I thought, what a great picture. And Paul uses this imagery. If you'd like to look with me at Philippians 2 for a moment, starting in verse 12, Paul uses this beautiful imagery of stars in the night sky. Philippians 2, starting in verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. I'm so glad Paul tells us that we're to work not for salvation, but work out our salvation. He doesn't say you need to work on it and make it better, or you need to work for it and make it happen. He says work out your salvation. Salvation is a gift by God's grace. And I think of it being like a field that God gives a farmer. He says, "Here, this is, you didn't work for this field, this beautiful, rich soil I gave you. Here's the field, and here's this wondrous seed. These are gifts from me. But now you work it. Now you do what I've given you to do with what I've given you." And so Paul tells us you need to work out your salvation. And he says, it's God who's working in you. It's God who's giving you the desires and the ability to follow his will in your life, to shine. And he calls us to shine in unique ways. You know, each one of us is different. We have, as family in Christ, we have a lot of common ground, but we have different ways that we shine, that he causes us to shine. There's times that God will give us a burden, a desire to shine in a particular way, maybe a certain ministry that you've had a longing for, and you know this is a desire from God, and he's given you this passion, this burden. You wake up thinking about it, and you keep looking for that open door, and it's not been there yet. And one of the tough things to learn is God's timing. It's wondrous and perfect and beautiful and good. God's timing is perfect, but it's so hard sometimes as you're waiting You know, but the scriptures tell us that Abraham had to patiently endure before the promise came. And sometimes that's our story too. We have to wait patiently because God is doing a work in us. And if you're going to shine for Him, it's going to be Him doing a work in you. I think about Joseph in Genesis and how God gave him this vision of authority and usefulness and how God was going to use him through these dreams. And he had to go through some things. You know, he had to fall in a pit or two. He had to do some time in prison. And it wasn't immediately clear what that would be before he would be used by the Lord. But in God's timing, if He's placed something in your heart, some way, a specific way maybe, that you're going to shine for Him, He'll get that done. The great thing is, if it's something God's given you and not from yourself, there's no stopping it. You know, God's will is it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And so you can trust that, but you have to endure sometimes. You have to be faithful and obedient and wait for the timing of the Lord and His ways. But he tells us here in verse 14, Paul writes, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing." And this is important if we're going to shine for the Lord. In little small ways or through different big things in our life, whatever it is, it's important that we understand, do everything without grumbling or arguing. This is not easy. And I'm just going to confess to you, I was grumbling about something a little last night. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? Okay, right on. Yeah. It wasn't anything with you guys. Here's the thing about grumbling. If you want to be like really excellent at something, do you guys want to be really? We like to be good at something, right? I want to tell you, no matter who you are, no matter what your gifts and abilities, you can be great at grumbling. It's a human thing.
But I do want to brag on it. We went to prayer immediately.
We did go to prayer after grumbling, and God answered the prayer immediately, and it was beautiful. It was so good. I'm serious. It was so good. God answered that, and it was a miracle. It was. It was an absolute miracle what God did. A physical thing where He showed us something after we repented. But here, the thing about grumbling is that if we allow ourselves to be a person who likes to grumble and complain a lot, we quickly become an expert in that. And if you become an expert in grumbling, you're really not an expert in almost anything else anymore. It becomes such a prominent thing. And it's really hard to shine the light of faith and hope and love in Jesus Christ when you're grumbling and complaining. It's not compatible. And so I'm telling you, somebody was convicted yesterday of that the light of trusting the Lord and having faith in Him and going to Him in prayer, which is where I should have started, you know. So don't grumble or argue, he says. So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the skies. You hold firmly to the word of life. And it's so easy in a particular situation. The flesh is just like, you're justified in grumbling. Let's go. Let's complain. Let's argue. Let's defend yourself here. That's another area you can pray for me. You guys should have a pretty good list of praying for me now. I've got my struggles. I need your help with this. It's so tempting to justify ourselves and grumble and complain and argue. You know, the cold weather comes. I wish I lived in Hawaii. It's coming. I'm just telling you. Yeah. You go to Meijer today to get some pies for the outreach. Can you believe this line? You know. I'll give you one of my things, one of my go-tos. When I'm in at the grocery store and there's a line, so that I won't grumble, Lord, thank you for giving me this rest. Thank you for just giving me a pause here for a minute that I didn't even know I needed to just be here with you. And so I'm not all that. I'm just telling you, I have to do that or else I'm prone to grumbling. So, and even with the rain, yeah. Thank you, Lord. You're doing something good. Because of God's presence with His people, we can shine like stars. We can just by having faith in Him and abiding in His love and speaking hope You don't even have to be handing out a gospel tract, or, I mean, you can just, by being his people, by being his children. And Paul's saying here, put into practice what you are. You're God's children. So work it out. You know, start living it out. Start shining, because that's what you are. You're his children. He intends for us to shine so that other people can see. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 14. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father." That's the motive. That needs to always be the motive, so that people will praise your Heavenly Father. Not about us, not about where somebody likes you or thinks you're all that. I like you, you're nice, but that's not what it's about. It's so that people will praise our Heavenly Father. Sometimes that happens, we're not even aware of it. Just one little sacrificial act of kindness that we do, the Holy Spirit is doing a work there. That's bringing about praise in somebody's heart you don't even know about. You guys do that for me. There's times you guys, seriously, I could tell you about, I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but I can think back last week, a kind word or two from you guys that really blessed me. So our first big idea today that I want to recognize from the Word of God is that you are a light in the darkness. You're a star in the sky. You are a light in the darkness. Jesus, in using this illustration, he's using an illustration that was easy for the people who were listening in that time to lay hold of and to understand, because back then, without electricity in the homes, it was very dark. Most of the homes in that area would have maybe one or two very small windows, and at nighttime, a lot of times those would be covered. There wasn't a lot of natural light coming in, so in the home, it's going to be extremely dark unless you have a lamp. Unless you've got some kind of light there. And so they would have an oil lamp or a saucer of oil, and they'd have a wick in it. And they would light that. And if you wanted to illuminate the house, you would put that on a wooden stand to cast the light. Houses then would, you know, two or three little rooms. So it didn't take a lot of lamps or a lot of oil. But it'd be placed on a stand to give light to those who are in the home. Just by its presence. Just by its presence. The light didn't have to be noisy. It didn't have to complain, "All right, you darkness, you get out of here." You know, no. No, it just did what light does, right? It just was dispelling darkness. That's what it does. It's just shining. One of the characteristics of light, though, if you have an enemy, and we do have a spiritual enemy, you know, the Bible says we're in a spiritual war in this world. If you have an enemy, light draws attacks. And that's okay. That's okay. If we're shining the way that we should, there's going to be spiritual pushback. If you are walking out a life of faith in Jesus Christ, and you are obeying His Word, and being His children, it's going to bring attacks. We've got brothers and sisters around the world today who are shining so brightly in the midst of attacks that we can't even imagine, in the spiritual and the physical. And I think from the testimonies I hear, man, they've got some 100-watt floodlights going on in how they're shining. It's amazing what God's doing through His church around the world in the midst of great darkness. It's okay. Greater is He who is in you than the one who's bringing that attack, who's in the world. It's okay. It's to be just expected. Just if you're going to be God's children and that light's going to shine, it's okay. There's going to be some attacks. And you know what? God's so awesome that He works in all things for good. He's going to glorify himself through that. And that's wonderful. People are going to praise our Heavenly Father for his faithfulness in the midst of that. But there's going to be attacks when you shine. Another thing that the light does is it serves as a guide. If you're out on the road at night and you can't see very well, especially back in the day when there's no street lights, you know, maybe you know that when I get down this lane, I'm going to be looking out to the right because my neighbors usually have a light in the window. That's going to help me find my way. That light in you, God can use that to help guide somebody, maybe guide them to the gospel. Who knows? But just by shining, just by being God's people. You know, one of the wonderful things about light is it doesn't even have to be aware of how bright it is. You know, if you take somebody who doesn't have eyesight, you know, a blind person, and they're sitting out on the porch and they've got that lantern in their hand, they can't see that light. They don't even know. But people who can see, it's going to have that great impact that it should have. It's going to show them the path to go on. It's going to show them the way. And sometimes we're unaware. We're oblivious. That's why it's so important not, you know, God doesn't promise that we're going to have everything figured out. I love it when the Lord brings to mind for me, because I'm a person who's wired to think that I have to have things figured out, and he's beautifully corrected me a million times. Yeah, a million and one. And I love it when God just emphatically speaks to my spirit and says, you don't have to figure it out, you just need to trust me and obey. It's so good. It is, because that's what I need to hear. You don't even have to know how much light you're shining or whether you're shining. You just listen, just trust the Lord. Just be his people. Just shine. God's going to do what he's going to do to bring glory to himself and praise to our Heavenly Father. But we need to be faithful, obedient children. You know, we don't want that bushel basket to cover us up, right? We want it to be removed so people can really, so our flesh isn't in the way. And God can really show his presence. If you turn with me to 2 Corinthians for just a moment, chapter 4. Starting in verse 5. A beautiful example of shining. The Apostle Paul writes, "For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. There's so many times that we get in difficult situations or we just get tripped up by our flesh, right? We choose sin. Or we think, man, how can I'm so broken, I'm so weak in this situation, how can I shine? How can I be God's person in the midst of this? But Paul says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. For we are who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Paul's saying, listen, in the midst of difficult situations, in the midst of feeling overwhelmed, you can trust in Christ. You can stand upon his promises. Even in the midst of persecution and despair and difficulty, you can still be a light shining in the darkness. It's Christ working in you doing it. It's okay if you don't feel sufficient. It's okay if the situation seems too difficult. He causes you to shine for His glory. And our second big idea this morning, this is a place for you to shine. I know that may seem kind of obvious, but this is a place for you to shine. Sometimes it is great to be missional. You know, it is great to understand that the church is not the building. The church is the people, and the people don't stay here 24/7. Right? We go out, and we still need to be God's people everywhere we are. We need to be the church out in the community. But we need to also come here expectant that God is going to shine through us, not only for the people who are out there, but for the people who are here. That there's somebody who needs that hope that you have today in the midst of something that God did for you this morning. There's somebody here who needs to hear about it. And sometimes we think, well, everybody else is a light. They don't need me to shine. Yes, they do. We need each other. I need you guys to shine. I need you to not be under a bushel basket, to be encouraged by that. And when that happens, you know what I do? Thank you, Father. That's from Him. That's for His praise. I mean, I like you guys when you do that, but that's from Him. He gets the praise for that. If we're going to shine and glow anywhere, it should be, let's do it as family. Let's do it out there faithfully, but let's do it here too. Going back to Matthew 5, verse 15. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. That's what I want. I want people to praise our Heavenly Father. I remember being at Cracker Barrel. Yeah, that's out of character. If you guys don't know, it's Home Away From Home. I remember being at Cracker Barrel a few years ago with Kim. Actually, I think it was several years ago because I think the kids might have been with us. Yeah, I do. Yeah, the kids were with us. I remember now. We were at Cracker Barrel, and just something that we did not... It's just something that we did. And we prayed together there at the table. And I remember people commenting positively about it. They're like, wow, thank you. It wasn't about us, but it encouraged people just to hear us thank the Lord for providing food for us. But I remember it hurting my heart at the same time, as much as I thought, wow, that's great, Lord, that you use that. But I thought, why isn't everybody sitting, God's so good to all of us. Why aren't we all sitting around tables, all talking about the goodness of God? Light doesn't grumble or complain or argue. It just shines. We're going to celebrate communion here in a few minutes. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. They have a pre-communion song. We'll just let the Holy Spirit guide you. If you want to just let the words wash over you and stay seated and pray, you can. If you want to stand and sing and praise, you can do that. Just let God guide you in that. I'm just going to pray for us briefly before the worship team. Father, thank you for your wonderful ways, God. Thank you, Lord, that you love messy kids. Because that's the only kind you got. Thank you that you love us anyway. And you love us with a radical, powerful love that changes us. Thank you, Lord, that you're making us more like Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you have good things, good words, good deeds prepared for us before we even know about it. And for us to have that wonderful opportunity to walk in those so that people will praise you. Lord, thank you for that ultimate act that we praise you for today and every day. Thank you for the cross. Thank you that you did out of love what you would do for no other reason, Lord. That you would take our sins upon yourself. That you would live and die and be resurrected, Lord, that we could know you, be forgiven and cleansed and changed and saved. Lord, we pray, help us to worship you unhindered in this moment. And God, I pray that if there's anybody here or anybody watching online who isn't born again yet, Lord, that you might give them the gift of faith and repentance this morning, that they might come to the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.